Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, today we're going to get into the third section of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Solomon addresses three subjects in the fifth chapter, two of which we have already covered. The first one has to do with worship, the second one with oppression, and the third one, the one we're getting into today, with money. A right approach to worship is essential for a truly fulfilling life upon the earth. A right view of oppression is very important to have a fulfilling life upon earth, but there must be a right attitude toward money. And so as we come to verses 10 and following, we're taking up the subject of the problem with money. And of course, I think we'll all agree that money is a very, very big item in regard to life upon the earth. And if Solomon is going to investigate all the different areas of exploration, of activity which people follow in order to try to find fulfillment in life, then certainly the subject of money, the topic of money, the area of money is going to have to be carefully explored. And indeed it is. Solomon explores it in the last half of chapter 5 and also into chapter 6. So it's a large topic on his mind. It must be an important subject for our consideration. And so the problem with money. Now, some people would say the only problem I have with money is just not having enough of it. But there's a little more to it than that. And we will get into that after I greet you on this Monday, September 21, and remind you that we do need financial help. We need money in order to pay the bills for the airtime that allows us to teach God's Word on this station. If you are able and willing to help with that, we would be very, very grateful. Well, yes, there is more to money, more problems with money than just simply not having enough of it. So what is it? Well, the truth of the matter is, and listen to me now, the truth of the matter is that we all have exactly the right amount of money. That's right. We all have exactly the right amount of money. No more, no less, because, and here's the answer to it, because it's the amount that God has given us at this time. That's why I can say that it is exactly the right amount. Now, I'm not saying that it seems like the right amount to us in every situation, and I'm probably talking to the majority of the radio audience that's hearing this broadcast today who thinks that you don't have enough money. That is the most common attitude toward money, and I don't suppose I'm talking to many people who say I have too much of it. But we first need to get settled in our minds that we do have exactly the right amount because God doesn't make any mistakes. And because God is the one who controls all of the circumstances of our lives and who decides what we need and when we need it. And therefore, if we understand who God is and what He claims as His activity in the lives of men and women, then surely we do have exactly the right amount, because it is the amount that God has given us at this time, which is not to say that it will be the same amount tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, but it is for now the right amount of time. So the issue is not so much whether we have the right amount or not, because we do. The issue is, have we learned to think about and handle the money that God has given to us in a correct manner? And that brings us, therefore, to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 and following. And we will explore this subject. And when it comes to money, Solomon, first of all, gives a catalog of problems that relate to money in verses 10 through 17. And then finally, in verses 18 through 20, a healthy perspective on money. So that's where we're going. First of all, a catalog of problems, and it starts with verse 10. And he says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." What is he saying? He's saying money cannot satisfy. Money never satisfies. Remember that word vanity that he uses again in this text and uses so many times throughout this book when he says this also is vanity. He means this also is futile. That word vanity takes on different shades of meaning in different contexts. And what he's telling us is that when money is the goal, it never satisfies. Why? Because the goal keeps moving. You're aiming at a goal. If I could just get so much money, then I'd be happy. But if you manage to achieve that, and not everybody does, sometimes people set goals and they fall short of the goal. But the truth of the matter is, when your life is wrapped up primarily in reaching a certain goal, a certain monetary goal, when you get there, the target moves. The goal moves. And you come to the conclusion that your goal wasn't big enough. So you're now going to have to achieve a higher level of monetary acquirement for you to be satisfied. And that's the problem. That's at least one of the problems with money, is that money in itself is incapable of satisfying. And one of the reasons is because the person who is living for money is never satisfied with the amount that they have. The only people who are satisfied with the amount of money they have are the people who have learned to accept that God is sovereign in these matters, that He is in control of our lives, that His wisdom is greater than our wisdom, that He knows exactly what we need, and therefore, whatever we have is the right amount for us at this time in our lives, and we learn to be content with that conclusion. But when we, as Solomon puts it here, love silver, remember the love of money. Paul talks about this. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. When we love silver, when we make silver our main goal in life, when that's what we want, that's what we desire, that's what we love, that's what we live for, what's the problem? He who loves silver, verse 10, will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. How many times have you, over the years, said, if I could just get a raise, then everything would be okay, and I'd be satisfied. Struggling to make ends meet, struggling to balance your budget, struggling to make your income stretch to meet all of your needs, to make all of your payments, to take all of your responsibilities. The problem is, there are always things that we didn't anticipate. There will always be unexpected expenses. They just pop up out of nowhere. And when we stretch our budget too tight, we look at this and we say, well, I think I can make that car payment, and I really do need a new car. That'll work. It might be a bit of a stretch, but I can make it work. And so you head down that route, and then well, we really need some new furniture for the living room, and so, yeah, I can make this payment. The store tells me that I can acquire this living room suite for X number of dollars a month, and I can make that work, and so I'll add that. And it's almost no time at all until you are stretched right to the limit, if not beyond. Information that I have read indicates that the average American spends over 100% of their income every year. Every year. I forget what the percentage is. It's something like 103% or 105%. I don't remember exactly. But the average American spends more than their annual income every year. You say, how do you do that? You can't do that every year without getting into trouble, right? That really is the truth. But, of course, you can do it by continually financing and refinancing and stretching out. The bank's happy to help you with that. As long as you keep making payments, you can keep churning and turning over and figuring out some way to make payments on your obligations, even though your obligations exceed your income. But when you're in that kind of situation and you are spending 103 or 100%, 105% of your annual salary, then your thinking tends to be, if I could just get a raise, if I could get a 5% raise at work, then everything would be okay. Right now, I'm just a little bit short, but a 5% increase would cover the shortage, and then I would be all right. That's all I need. If I could just have that, then the pressure would be off. But the trouble is, and you've seen this happen if you've lived long enough, the trouble is when you get that increase, either that encourages you to unwisely increase your obligations, then you go borrow some more money because you can now make a little bit more payment. That's happening on the one hand very often. And on the other hand, those unexpected requirements come along, those unexpected bills, those unexpected expenses. They could be medical, they can be repairs on the house, on the car that you didn't anticipate, you didn't plan for that, you didn't budget for that, and there you are over the barrel again. And so this is what Solomon is telling us. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. It's never quite enough. He who loves abundance will never be satisfied with an increase, because as soon as the increase is acquired, then it gets gobbled up, and now you've got to have another increase, a bigger increase. And so it goes when you're living for money. And so we're talking about a list of problems with money, and the first one is money cannot satisfy. If you are looking to money for satisfaction in life, you are destined to be disappointed. Money cannot satisfy. Only God can satisfy. Living for Him, living under His control, contented, happy in that situation. No one is happier than the person who learns to be content with whatever he has. Not always looking for more, but content with what he has, with what God has given. But money in itself cannot satisfy. But there are other lessons to learn, and we'll take them up tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.